One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, episode 61. Eight more episodes till Seventh Heaven arrives. But until then, we'll keep you entertained with talk of interesting facts, quizzes at the end of this episode, and politics, sadly. Politics today. Ooh. But the exciting kind of politics, it involves international espionage. I can say that. Or does it? Does it involve those things? That's what we're here to discuss and speculate upon. With the breaking news that Trump and Putin might have a connection.
What year is it? Have I gone back in time? What's going on?
Might have a connection.
It's been so long since I've seen these people in the same news story.
I know, it's great, isn't it? It feels right somehow, even though it's probably wrong. But yes, joining me,
that's
Robin.
The 69th episode, which, speaking of, I'm going to be absent for, because now I'm scared of what that's going to entail.
Let's just say Alex won't be on screen for the 69th episode. But he may be present.
Oh, gosh.
joining me, Robin, to discuss all these wonderful things are Alex and Martin. How are you both doing, starting with Alex?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine, thank you, Robin. Just been getting through this beautiful, lovely, delicious heat wave that we've been having in the UK. Apologize for anyone listening or watching. Well, if you're watching, you'll get the added bonus of seeing three men slowly melt.
Very true. How have you guys been dealing with it? What are your techniques for dealing with it? Is it
badly?
I started off eating lots and lots of ice lollies, and I was like, "This is bad." Man, I'm just getting loads of sugar rushes throughout the day. Yeah,
I did have
not ideal
water, I guess. But even then, I think dealing with it is failure to deal with it is really what's going on at my end.
The issue is it's not the heat, because you get heat in loads of other countries and everyone's like, oh, it's pathetic. What?
This is true.
It's 32 degrees, whatever, for 2 days and you're complaining. It's not the heat. The heat is not what hurts you. It's the fact that other countries have air conditioning.
Yes.
And we here in the UK, well, we don't, do we?
What we do have is humidity in abundance. So it's not a dry heat. It's not a nice, relaxing beachside breath of fresh air kind of heat. It's a muggy, close, overcast sky. Although right now it's clear. You know, it's horrible. It's right. You can feel it crawling on your skin.
I just said deja vu, but I'm pretty sure it's just that we've actually discussed this in a previous episode, the last time it was hot.
Pretty
we've
sure.
definitely done that.
It's just like...
This is the deja vu episode. We're talking about Trump and Putin, and we're bringing up weather.
Yes, indeed. Well, before we move on from talking about the weather to discussing state secrets, let's talk about internet secrets. And as people who live on the internet and talk about dark things all the time and are very conscious about our security, we have very thoroughly recommend that you use a VPN service. And luckily, today's podcast is sponsored by Surfshark.
So this is the actual VPN service that I use on a daily basis, so I can talk about how great it actually is. Now, I could let you know that it's incredibly fast and simple to set up, or that using it unlocks the 15 largest Netflix libraries around the world, or I could let you know that Surfshark automatically scours the web and blocks more than 1 million known malicious websites, phishing methods, and other threats, as well as that they have industry-leading data encryption and a strict no-logs policy, meaning they won't collect your browsing data. But I don't need to say that, because to be honest... It works as a VPN should. It's on when I switch my computer on. You know, it's just peace of mind at the end of the day. If you're conscious about security online, this day and age, it's basically an essential that everyone should have.
Well, it's totally unlimited, isn't it? You can have it on pretty much any device you can think of. So I've got mine on my phone, which is pretty handy. And there's also 24/7 live support if you have any issues. And there's also a 30-day money-back guarantee, which, of course, is always good to have. We know that you'll like it. We know that you'll use it like we do. But if you don't, there's no risk there.
So to take advantage of the great VPN service that Surfshark offer and that we all thoroughly recommend, head over to surfshark.deals/interesting or at checkout, use the code interesting for 83% off a 24-month coverage, plus 3 months extra free, and a 30-day money-back guarantee if you don't like it. But to be honest, you'll like it, and it's an amazingly cost-effective deal for fantastic ease of mind while surfing the net. Let's bring something new to our listeners and to ourselves by discussing what we've learned this week. Martin, what have we learned this week?
Well, I learned about you. Well, you know Australia, that darn country. What's Australia known for? give me some feeders. What's Australia known for?
Koala bears.
Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, what else? Crocodile Dundee. Anything else?
Duckbill platypus.
Of all the Australian animals you went for, the duckbill platypus was the first one that came to mind.
Yeah, it's not the first thing that comes to mind. Okay, fine.
No, the first thing that comes to mind to me is like spiders, right? Lots of spiders, lots of snakes, lots of dangerous animals.
Yeah, that's true.
Lots of dangerous animals.
And Australian people.
And Australian people, you saying? Australian people as well, yes.
Yeah.
And this week I learned about the spiders and the snakes from Australia. And the fact that although it is full of various dangerous spiders that, you know, undeniably are dangerous, including the Sydney funnel web. I'm just having a reading list of Australian spiders. Redback spiders, mouse spiders, trapdoor spiders. Oh, those are crazy, actually. They're really quite incredible. I think I've seen
videos of those on YouTube.
If anyone doesn't know, just type in trapdoor spider. It's pretty crazy. And although they seem deadly, the fact is, spiders don't kill people in Australia.
Rappers do.
They do not kill people in Australia.
They just toy with them.
Exactly.
Well, I thought these were all like really deadly spiders that kill people all the time. I thought that was the whole point.
Exactly. Well, supposedly
they've made a peace treaty with the Australian people. They have their side of the country.
But they had to sign it in 8 times. Makes no sense.
What? You're literally just talking about them having 8 legs.
Yeah.
Do you sign every contract with every hand?
Every hand I have. Yeah. Everything's signed twice.
I don't know. That's so funny. Okay, but basically, spiders haven't killed anyone in Australia officially since 1979.
Oh,
wow!
Isn't that pretty crazy? Over 42 years. And that is, of course, because of the invention of different antivenoms, which have prevented people actually dying when they get bitten.
So it's not for lack of trying.
I thought you were going to say it's because they don't really bite people. But no, it's because.
That's the thing. They still will bite you, but the likelihood is that you'll be somewhere where you can recover. You can get this anti-venom and you can recover. Okay. So this then begs the question, okay, so what is the deadliest animal in Australia? And the answer over the last 9-year period, or 9 years between, I think it was 2008 to 2017 during this study, was in fact horses and cows, the two animals. But horses and cows combined together have caused 77 deaths over these 9 years, which... Wow. Is more than any other animal, excluding humans, of course.
Yeah.
So there we go.
So cows like stampedes, or do they just like?
I imagine so. I imagine it's people being trampled by these animals. Yeah. Or I guess with horses, you can fall off a horse, but does that count?
That's true. They also kick those horses. Kicks can be pretty vicious, don't they?
Yeah, that's very true. I could believe that a lot, but I'm surprised that they took the top spot. I was thinking maybe like kangaroos or even like emus or cassowaries or something.
Kangaroos come under mammals other, I believe, in their category. Okay. I think it was around 20 to 30 people in that 9-year period. So significant, but not really when you think about it being over 9 years. Sharks, 26 people. Hornets, wasps and bees, 27, which I imagine is people having allergic reactions. Dogs, 22. Crocodiles, 17. So again, not particularly dangerous. And spiders, of course, they don't even make the list. Someone's even been killed by a rat, but not a spider. What? So if you're scared of going to Australia because of dying by spider bite, you're probably going to be okay.
How did a rat kill someone? What gives them rabies or something?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It doesn't give info on the one rat death. I might have to let the one out for next.
There are stories about rats eating people whilst they sleep. So maybe.
Ooh.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
That does sound pretty horrible.
New lifetime fear, Robin.
Don't fall asleep. Well, Alex, what did you learn this week? Hopefully something slightly more. Well, I think, you know, that was quite cheerful, Martin. Thank you. That's quite inspiring and optimistic.
That was, yeah. That hasn't changed my phobia of spiders, but, you know.
Yeah.
It has given me a new phobia of Ratatouille. So thanks for that, Martin. Well, I learned about tea. And in particular, I learned that there is such a thing as Earl Grey tea intoxication. And it comes from...
What?
There was one particular study where someone came into a doctor's office one day and they had extreme muscle cramps and blurred vision. And it was because they were drinking... Well, it turned out they were drinking 4 liters of Earl Grey tea per day.
A day?
And when they cut down to 1 to 2 liters per day, that made the symptoms go away. But I was reading the...
4 liters, 8 pints of tea.
I was reading the story of this, and it's
How
just
much
like...
How tea is that?
It just... I was just kind of confused by it, so I just want to just share the story with you. So In 2001, a 44-year-old man... came into a doctor's office with muscle cramps. He had no medical history, but he'd been drinking 4 liters of regular black tea per day, every day over the past 25 years. And he switched to Earl Grey, thinking that this would give him, he was having like occasional gastric, you know, pains because He's drinking 4 liters of tea per day.
Quite a lot. Yeah. Yes.
So he thought, oh, I'll switch to Earl Grey. Hopefully that will alleviate some of these symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah.
1 week after the change, he noticed repeated muscle cramps in his, for some seconds in his right foot. The longer he drank the Earl Grey tea, the more intense the muscle cramps became. After 3 weeks, they were starting to occur in his left foot. After 5 weeks, muscle cramps had spread towards the hands and the right calf. Occasionally, he observed blurred vision and, some vertigo and that kind of thing. Kind of motor and sensory issues started occurring. At this point, I'm thinking, stop drinking the tea.
I mean, did he attribute it to the tea early on? I mean, he obviously thought something was wrong with drinking 4 liters of tea, otherwise he wouldn't have changed.
Yeah.
But this is extreme to the max.
I'm guessing not. I'm guessing they didn't make that connection. Apparently after swapping... Well, after just reducing the amount to 1 to 2 liters, that's fine. Weirdly, yeah, after 1 week, his symptoms had completely disappeared.
One week, that fast.
Wow. Yeah.
A lifetime of 4 liters a day. That's crazy. I mean, you spend so much time boiling the kettle to make the 4 liters of tea. You must have been able to do so much more when you reduced it to 2 liters.
He must have been a big old mug, mustn't he?
It's not.
Yeah, a massive mug, maybe, yeah.
This the actual study doesn't confirm what it was in the tea that caused this, but I was reading some comments online, and what it's thought was that it's in Earl Grey tea.
Bergamot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's bergamot oil in Earl Grey tea, which is a potassium blocker. Like it blocks that channel that produces potassium.
Right.
So it could have been related to that, is thought. But interesting.
Okay.
Basically,
it's also a shitload of caffeine.
Public service announcement. Don't drink 4 liters of Earl Grey tea per day.
Yeah.
Stick to the regular 2 liters per day. You'll be fine.
Being regular, tea is an irritant, a bowel irritant. Like, makes you go. Having 4 liters a day is going to be straight through him.
How much tea do you both drink per day? Would you say?
Probably 6 cups. It's got bad recently.
I mean, 6 cups, that must be about 2 liters. Don't go beyond that, Robin.
I should cut down a bit.
I drink a coffee in the morning, and then sometimes I have a tea just after lunch, but maybe not. So not a lot.
Yeah.
It has gone down in this weather. The tea is definitely reduced in this weather.
Yeah. I reckon between like 1 and 4, I would say 4 max.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, mid-afternoon, tea time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
With a couple of coffees thrown in there for good
measure. Like I mean, Robin, you live the most northerly out of all of us, don't you? You're a northern soul, let's just say. Do you have tea with your food?
Yes.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
See, Alex, yeah. Alex, I don't think would dream of that, would you, Alex?
Have tea with my food.
Yeah. As in, you having your fish and chips, you having your fish supper?
I might have a tea,
fish,
but I think
I would fish and chips.
it couldn't be my drink. I might have a tea with my dinner, but I would still need a drink with it. Do you know what I mean? Like the tea's on a separate coaster.
Well, I would hope it's on a different coaster anyway. Like,
yeah, but like, I'd need to. that's not my drink
the tea
with
on
dinner.
My chips. Oh, yeah.
No, but like, I mean, I'd need to have like some water or something with it.
Because the hot, yeah.
You can't have hot on hot. Yeah, that's mental.
Yeah. I didn't realize is that like a northern thing then to have tea?
I think it's more. I'm going to be probably blasted in the comment section now by people going, "Well, I'm from Portsmouth.
Yeah,
I do that all the time. I have tea with a curry."
Oh yeah, no, that's terrible. I've definitely done that before, and I did not enjoy it.
You've had tea with a curry.
Yeah,
doesn't sound good.
No, that's not.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do that either. Curry is quite. Yeah, curry special. Well, I'm going to continue this kind of almost medical theme we've got with our facts this week. And this is a shout out to Ben, by the way, a frequent listener who told me this fact, which is about the word orthopedics, which I never thought about properly before. So orthopedics, as I think most people know, is the branch of medicine that focuses on the care of the skeleton. Feet. No, not the feet, the skeleton.
What's the feet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. It's the ped bit that's got you, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not pedic as in pedo, as in feet. It's pedic in pedo, as in child.
Okay.
I see. Right. Orthopedics.
Yeah. So the name orthopedics refers to the school of medicine that's about looking after your bones and everything associated with them, the muscles and the joints and the tendons attached to your bones. But the word originates from a book written by a French physician called Nicolas Andru in 1741. And the book was about treating children with deformities. So he called it orthopedics, or rather the French word orthopedia or whatever, because it literally means straightening children.
Oh,
wow.
But of course, so much of straightening children's deformities involves their bones, so it kind of attached itself to the study of bone problems, and then they just stuck with it all these years.
So that's a good fact.
That is interesting. Yeah. Straightening children.
In a medical way.
Not in a Westboro Baptist Church.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh wow, that is interesting. It is interesting.
That is really interesting.
Words and where
podiatrist.
That
podiatrist.
Yeah, that's the word. Yeah, we got there eventually. Thank you, Martin.
Learn two facts.
Here we are. Just interesting. Come for one fact each. Learn at least four.
Yeah, and how much tea we drink on a daily basis.
I know, there's so much interesting stuff in this podcast.
There's interesting facts, and there's facts that no one needs to know.
Speaking of which, what our listeners think, I mean, not of facts that people don't need to know. Comments of the week?
Yeah. So I've got a comment from Elaine Christina, who is one of our YouTube members. So thank you for your support, Elaine.
Oh, thank you.
And this is referring to last week's podcast, where I tragically lost the quiz, and it's fine, I'm over it now. Yeah, it's okay, I'm a good loser. But you were using the dictap in Buzzer Robin, my voice, basically.
Yeah.
And Elaine points out, for all of Robin's politeness, I believe he uses this particular buzzer as a strategy. It seems Alex loses his touch every time. Not fair, Robin. And I fully agree. I think next season, this buzzer should be outlawed. Because it's a performance enhancing drug in the Justin's interesting quiz world.
And I mean, I'd happily not use it if it bothers you, Alex. But I'm pretty sure you've won it when I've used that buzzer before. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. It feels like I've been in a losing streak recently.
I like to think, Alex, that the buzzer puts you off when you hear your own voice. You're like, I've buzzed in. I've already buzzed. And then you realize that actually it's your voice right back at you. You speaking. It's the only explanation.
I'm just waiting for Dick Turpin to reply. That's the thing. Like, is anyone in these woods? I'm waiting for the answer. I'm still thinking maybe it'll get back to me.
But it never did.
But no, it's not a problem, Robin. You can keep Thank using you. It. I don't mind. I'll just have to get my own buzzer.
Yeah, it might be the only bit of Uncovered that you can still listen to on the internet. I'm not sure.
True, actually.
Quite likely.
Well, yeah. I've got a comment from Portman, and this is on our video from last week, which was about the Satanic Panic of the 1980s.
Oh, yeah.
So if you haven't seen that one, go back and check it out. It was fun. And they say, you could say that Satanism was used as a scapegoat.
That's good.
Oh, good. It's a 7 out of 10, I think. 7 out of 10, solid.
I'm disappointed. And I've also got another one. From...
I know, actually. Yeah, we should have done. Yeah. I've got another one from Roosie J, who says Christmas dinner in the Netherlands would be gourmet. Oh, by the way, this just a bit of context. Flavors. I have to provide a bit of context. In the same episode, there was a whole discussion we did had about crisp flavors and about Christmas dinner flavored crisps and what they taste like.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And Roosie J says Christmas dinner in the Netherlands would be gourmet, like everyone is just grilling random shit at the same time. The crisps would simultaneously have to taste like pancakes, egg, bacon, chicken, roasted veggies, and all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
That sounds amazing. Grim,
but yeah, reducing that into one single crisp flavor, impossible.
Imagine opening the packet for the first time. Just the beauty of smells that would explode into your nose.
Jeez.
Gosh.
Amazing.
That's terrific. I mean, I'm nothing wrong with that, but it feels kind of sad to not have a traditional meal for Christmas, you know? Everybody doing their own thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's still the roasted stuff there. So I imagine you're not having pancakes with the roasted. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, it would be good though. Pancakes,
chicken. It's like bacon,
that's a tradition of its own. You know, the classic stuff. yearly where you just grill a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
that sounds appealing.
Do it.
Actually.
Yeah. Well, my comment that I'd like to respond to is from La Louve, of a slightly different nature. And La Louve says, it's been 10 days since you guys posted. Hope you UK boys are well. Well, it's now been more like 14 or 15 days since we posted. But thank you for asking. And sorry it's been so long. And thanks for tuning in. We are well, as you can tell.
Yeah,
we are indeed. A few bits and pieces going on that just meant we had to postpone, didn't we? But
yeah,
we're back and as keen as ever.
I fully agree with that sentiment. I had nothing else to add, but I feel like I need to chime in and just say
we're 100% well. We're mad keen.
Me too.
In fact, we're so mad keen we're rolling out some of the old favorites and we're going back in time, as Alex suggested, to talk about everybody's favorite power couple after J-Lo. It's Trump Putin, as nobody calls them. Today's topic is what is going on with Trump and Putin? Because
I thought you meant to say pump.
Pump. Oh, that would work, actually. Pump
or prump. Yeah.
Prump.
Mm.
That could also
work. Yeah, pump, yeah, maybe. I thought you... Yeah. The pause after what? I thought that was the main topic for this week. The main topic for this week is what?
What? just what? I mean, it almost is, because this is kind of... I mean, we'll talk about this, but for me, this is one of those breaking news things that simultaneously confirms everything we knew and puts everything into question. I don't know how you two feel about this, but I'm looking forward to finding out. So, for those who may have missed it, last week, at the time of recording this, which is the 13th, the 15th of July, the UK's Guardian newspaper, The Guardian, published an article exploding the previously hidden fact that a leaked document from the Kremlin, drawn up back in January 2016, after a meeting, or in response to a secret meeting of the National Security Council of Russia, which involves Vladimir Putin himself, revealed that Putin signed an order, direct order, to the Russian secret services, plural, multiple branches were involved, to get Donald Trump elected president of the United States. And there's some juicy, salacious details in this document But by all accounts, The Guardian took it to several independent experts, military experts. Other newspapers reporting on The Guardian's article took it to their own experts. And the consensus is that this document, well, it's in Russian, by the way, is authentic. It has all the hallmarks of a proper Kremlin document, and it's Putin's signature, so it must be real. So this is an age-old story.
That'd be a bit of a warning sign, like it being fake if it wasn't in Russian.
Yes, it would be mistake number one.
if it was fake, yeah.
So there are two big questions coming out of this, but we'll discuss the whole thing in a bit more detail. The first question is, how much should we trust this? How much does this confirm what a lot of people were already saying back in 2016 before Trump was elected? And then the second thing is, how has this a document of this nature, of this significance, leaked from the Kremlin now? You know, this is just a very interesting thing to happen, because I don't know about you, but when was the last time you read a leaked document from the Kremlin?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems more the question is why. Why was this? Yeah, why did this come out of the Kremlin?
Exactly.
And how, I guess, how as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's
why probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they run a pretty tight ship, so naturally, you kind of assume if this has gotten out now, then it was intentionally like put out now, and if so, then why? But yeah, I mean, maybe it was recovered by some independent sources that were not working for the Kremlin when they did this, and it wasn't in the Kremlin's interest to release these documents. But
yeah, so the document itself is just got a very bland name. It's called number 32-04/VD. So it's not very excitingly named.
That's my childhood bedtime story.
My favorite one. And actually, the meeting that took place where this document was formulated and signed and discussed was covered by the press at the time, but it was officially just a meeting about the economy and the situation in Moldova. There's some kind of crisis going on there, political crisis. But actually, this meeting was really about discussing making Trump president and taking all actions necessary. And there's some interesting phrases and some interesting facts revealed by this document. So the report says that they agreed that President Trump at the time was the most promising candidate to act in Russia's interests as president of the United States. There's a psychological assessment of Trump, and the Russian psychological assessment of Trump is that he is impulsive, mentally unstable, and an unbalanced individual who suffers from an inferiority complex.
Thank goodness it was proved that they couldn't have been more wrong.
There was also, and this is quite important, I don't know if people remember the last time we discussed Trump and Russia, but the word kompromat became kind of a buzzword for a time, which is the Russian phrase for compromising evidence with which you can blackmail somebody. Kompromat. It's a key strategy in Russian espionage. And the report says that they do have compromising material on Trump from his non-official visits to Russian Federation territory. And there are certain events that happened during his trips to Moscow in particular, but the document does not say what. It does refer to an appendix attached to the document, Appendix 5, I think, which reveals what that information is, but the appendix hasn't leaked. None of the appendices have leaked, only the main document itself.
Maybe they haven't leaked yet.
Yeah,
ooh, maybe these are a timed drip feeding leaks.
We can speculate, but I'm thinking about what's happened retrospectively over the last, well, during Trump's presidency. You've got to think that a lot, whatever that is, it's probably amongst his supporters wouldn't have made much difference. Even if he'd said, I love communism, I'm backing communism, they'd have been like, as Trump, he's using this as a ploy, he's going to turn it around on those Russians.
Yeah,
you're right.
I want to say that. Well, I want to believe otherwise, but I think you might be true. If there was a video release, if the Golden Shower video came out, you know, of a... Well, I won't describe what, but if, you know what. and it was in full HD, you saw everything. He still would have been elected, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
It's, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No comment on the ability of his followers to back him regardless of you know whatever's going on. It's but yeah, I mean they probably I imagine that they maybe underestimated the usefulness of that kind of evidence. Mm. Well, perhaps. But we don't know what it is.
Well, I don't know. I think both of you.
But we can guess.
I think both of you are spot on in the sense that it wouldn't have made a difference to Trump supporters, because I think the document that's been leaked implies that the Russians would agree with you, because they predicted, according to this report, that if Trump became president, he will, I'm quoting now, will definitely lead to the destabilization of the US's socio-political system and see hidden discontent burst into the open.
Which, to be fair, they are spot on, aren't they?
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. And I think a lot of that is assuming that people who like him will continue to support him no matter what, and people who don't support him will really get angry about it.
Yeah. I mean, my kind of thought there was because of the Hollywood Access tape that did come out, which was, was not as bad as the rumored Golden Shower video, but was still devastatingly bad.
Grabbing by the house cut. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But his supporter skull came out strong, and if anything, Hillary Clinton came out worse for it. Because that same week, her numbers dropped by the end, possibly because of it. That was another one of the WikiLeaks.
That was the James Comey reopening the investigation.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, just in time to kill the negativity from the Hollywood Access tape.
Yeah,
that's right. Hey, well, here's the thing: this document doesn't mention by name Hillary Clinton, but it does talk about finding ways to damage Trump's opponents, which presumably would also include his Republican opponents, because I don't think he was the nominee at the time this meeting. This is January 2016, so I don't think he was the nominee yet, but he was the front runner. Mm. So presumably Russian agents acted against his Republican opponents as well as the Democratic opponents, which I think
is... What do they have on Ted Cruz? What do they do on him? I mean,
assassinated JFK, we know this.
I'm trying to remember the Republican primaries at that point, but it seemed pretty early on. Well, I think there was some kind of reluctancy in the media anyway to admit that Trump was definitely steamrolling over everyone, but he seemed to be like a front runner from as soon as I was paying attention to it.
Yeah, I think as soon as he announced it, everyone was like, whoa, he's got a real chance here. But then you had Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz in particular, I think.
The Russians didn't need to do anything to Jeb Bush. He sabotaged himself.
It's true.
Yeah.
Please clap.
It's true.
But yeah, just having a look, he was there. Carson, of course.
Oh, yeah, Ben Carson. He was terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, and he got into the cabinet, didn't he? So yeah, yep. Everything ended up, everything came up Carson.
He's happy with that.
But they talk about specifically in this paper about how they could insert what they call media viruses into American public life with the purpose of them becoming self-sustaining and self-replicating, which I guess is essentially what did happen, you know, with the sense that the Trump mania that exists now to this very day is organic, you know, but it may have started with fake news seeds being planted all those years ago. And again, to me, this is all confirmation of what people have been saying all along and what we already thought we knew. It's all kind of confirmed by this one document. The one thing that I do find particularly interesting about this document, I don't know if you thought this, is that there apparently isn't anything in the document to indicate that they like Trump, that they think Trump will be pro-Russian. It's more that they think Trump will be so self-destructive for America that he's the best candidate for Russian interests.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think if they're trying to find a sympathetic president towards Russia, that, you know, they won't, you know, someone like that will not get elected in the US.
Yeah.
So yeah, they do. Yeah, they literally, it's the chaos, isn't it, that they're after? And to be fair, it seems like it's difficult to know exactly. Well, as we know, the extent of the Russian interference isn't exactly known, is it? We know that they did interfere, but we don't know exactly to what extent. But it suggests that whatever happened, whether they, their aims were achieved by getting him into power, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
It's where does the US go from here? Because we're in the situation now where we're a president on, and the divisions are wider than ever in the USA, despite us supposedly getting back to some kind of normality and Biden trying to bring the country together. You know,
it seems like all the kind of Republican moves in the last, since Biden's been elected, restricting voting laws and basically undermining the election that just happened with the big lie being spoken about, not just in fringe online circles, but on primetime Fox News and other news outlets. You know, the big lie, it's a mainstream thing that Republican congressmen, senators buy into and believe. I don't know how America recovers from this, basically. Yeah. And I was saying before we started recording that I couldn't believe how this story seemed to have been. This came out last week, and there hasn't been many follow-ups. It wasn't like the most talked about story. This seemed pretty huge, but I think it was basically what we all suspected all along, or what was rumored. It was almost like we already knew all this stuff, but this is just confirmation, another confirmation that it's true.
Do you think that with Trump now out of office, this could be a power play by Putin and by the Russians to say, you know, as a purposeful leak to say, okay, now you know what we're capable of. We can destabilize your country, and using it as that, as that power play against the US, and really just letting them know who's actually in charge of their elections and who can really make a difference. I mean, it seems like interesting timing to be releasing this document so far removed from the Trump presidency now. I mean, barring a miracle, it seems like Trump is on, you know, he's certainly out of the public light now, which is for most of us is a good thing. And we won't be seeing him anytime soon. It'd be interesting to see what actually happens in 2024. but we will see on that front. And whether, I mean, I'd imagine that if this was leaked by the Russians, they wouldn't consider Trump to be a viable candidate for 2024. Otherwise, they'd keep under wraps, right?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's very plausible that this is a deliberate leak by the Kremlin, because even if it weren't a deliberate leak, it actually continues to serve their interests, because as we were just saying, the Trump base is going to see this as a fake because it says everything that they don't want to hear. And the anti-Trump movement, it confirms, as we've been saying, everything that they've always believed. So it's just going to entrench the two sides even more. And of course, keep the debate going when the debate is kind of winding down in pop culture. Obviously, we know the debate is nowhere near gone yet. But apart from the fact that, as Alex just said, the media hasn't really picked up on this, apparently, this would just fan the flames and stoke the fire even more, right? Especially online. The Trump base need more ammunition to get angry. And the anti-Trump movement might be getting over it, as Martin just said. And then suddenly this comes up and it's like, it's all over again. And we're reliving it right now on our podcast. So it just keeps that division alive. Yeah. So it's tempting to think this is a deliberate leak by the Kremlin. In terms of timing, I just want to note that apparently, according to The Guardian, this isn't a fresh leak. This is the first time it's made public, but Western intelligence agencies have been aware of it for some time, quote unquote. So it's possible that this was leaked before the election last year, or maybe it was leaked straight away after the election last year, maybe even as part of the whole big lie pre-January 6th insurrection, or just afterwards. In which case, my question is, do you think it's possible that this is of the many hypothetical scenarios that led to this being published, is it a deliberate leak by the Kremlin to take advantage of the January 6th insurrection, either before or after it happened, and Western intelligence agencies have seized it, suppressed it, and are now releasing it when they think enough time has passed for it not to cause such a big deal?
Yeah, I think that's very possible. Yeah, it's interesting, because assuming the Kremlin, so if we're assuming that eventually they want, what do they want? They want chaos
in the West.
In the West.
Yeah.
And, you know, a candidate that's going to be as sympathetic to Russia as possible. They got that with Trump, but maybe, yeah, maybe their reading of Trump, that he's emotionally unstable and suffered from severe narcissism,
inferiority complex.
Complex.
Maybe they need to burn that bridge and install someone who's just as dangerous as Trump, but maybe a bit more authoritarian and also a bit more mentally stable in office.
Mm.
But the problem with the Trump movement is, it, like you said earlier, it's organic and everything is related to Trump himself. Trump, would that all go away, or would it? You know, Ted Cruz can't have the stadiums that Trump brings in. Is there for anyone else in the Republican Party?
One of the side effects of this has been that divide of the Republican Party, hasn't it? But when it rolls around to election time again, are they going to go for? I mean, they're going to go for the Republican primary, aren't they? People, even if you vote for Trump, you're over a Democrat, you're going to go for your Republican candidate, regardless of what their views are, you know, in relation to Trump, whether they agree with Trump or whether they're kind of an evolution of Trump, I'd say.
Mm.
Whether they are that or not, they're going to be voting down that political line. So I guess one of the fears from their point of view is that you get someone like Biden, actually, that we got now, that won't suit them anywhere near as much.
Mm.
Who's more traditional Democrat, isn't he? I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a tough one to know exactly how they feel about the political situation now. Like, they did a pretty good job on destabilizing the country. It'd be interesting to see whether in the next election they continue to try and divide the American public as they have been, or whether the damage has already been done.
I mean, you have seen recently, not even that recently, but like Republicans have turned on the more moderates within their party, like Mitt Romney. Even Mike Pence is a traitor now.
Yeah, hang Mike Pence.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't consider him a moderate. So it'll be interesting to see where the Republican Party goes next, whether they stick with Trump or they find someone like Trump. I guess Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think what you said, Martin, about it being a power play, it's definitely, at the very least, I think it might be that. It might be just to like, hey guys, look what we did. Fear us, you know, think of what we could do next time around.
Showing off.
Yeah. And they just don't care if, because they know it's not going to galvanize the Republican movement to actually act in favor of democracy, and particularly against Russian interference in elections, because the Republican Party, as Alex has just described, is so screwed up now. It's just so anti-democratic. It always has been a little bit anti-democratic since the Second World War, but really now is actively trying to dismantle true democracy in America as it exists, that the Russians know that it doesn't matter whether they confirm or not that they're interfering in elections, because they know that the American government won't do anything about it, because their political system means that they'll be paralyzed by the Mitch McConnells and his ilk, who are just determined to stonewall everything Biden does, in the same way that they stonewalled Obama and led to Trump. It's the same scenario again.
That is my kind of worry leading to 2022, the midterms, and the next main election in the US. Nothing robust has been put in place to alleviate this or to prevent this from happening again. Mm. It just seems to be the damage has stayed and there's an open wound in American democracy. And I don't know.
I mean,
I'm not optimistic.
As much as we've seen this you know, political division and at the, you know, the heart of politics and the undermining of democracy, I think the biggest change has been the social divisions that we've seen throughout American society. People now define themselves based on these echo chambers of what they believe in politically, and they define their personality around that. And so I think that's been the real success story for Russia here. Has been undermining that kind of that social fabric of American society as well as the political system, and that's kind of the biggest tragedy that's come out of this, is that we, the collective we, are more divided politically than ever before. And you can look at the social media social media has a part to play, and big media organizations, Facebook, have a part to play by feeding people, you know, what they want to see, whether it's right or wrong, just because it, you know, it fits into their what's been fed to them by the algorithm. And so, yeah, it's that political divide that's been the real, you know, heart at the stake to the heart of America, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That real divide. And I don't know whether that was their initial aim, whether it was to divide American society as much as it was to kind of break apart the American political system. But on both accounts, they seem to have succeeded, haven't they?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah,
that was absolutely nice. That was a very good summation, Martin, of everything. Yeah. The great victory. I remember when we used to talk about Putin back in the old days on the old channel, and we used to describe him as, you know, chess master, and, you know, he had this grand scheme in mind. I think it was when he invaded Crimea and annexed that and added it to Russian territory. And we're just like, Putin's the one to be feared. He's, you know, he's the one who's, you know, really guiding the course of world history at the moment. By the way, he's managing to control the scenario in his favor. What I didn't realize was that we would be seeing this kind of thing revealed in 2021, that it would go this far, and that we were able to reflect on it. And as Martin just said, see that the Russians, by direct order of Putin, let's not forget that, his signature, direct order, because he directly controls all the intelligence agencies in Russia. They report directly to the president of Russia, which is him. He is responsible, whether directly or indirectly, sorry, whether deliberately or undeliberately, but this is definitely directly, for completely fracturing Western civil society right now. And I think, you know, give him the cover of Time magazine, that's quite an achievement.
Yeah.
It is an achievement. It really is. I think it's difficult to know to the extent, isn't it, without knowing all the facts and the details and breaking down exactly how they influenced the US election, how they continue to influence people. I don't know, man. It's difficult to know whether they got the ball rolling, whether they're the catalyst.
Like whether this was inevitable anyway, and they just kind of sped the process up, maybe. Just nudging them in the right direction, but it was always going to go end up in this place anyway.
Which... I go back to the 1960s, and you see everything that happened last year in 2020 kind of repeated throughout the 1960s with the civil rights movement. Yeah, and Me Too in a way is the second or third wave of the feminist movement in the started in the 60s. I guess maybe I don't know. That's me. Tell us what you think, please, in the comments. Let us know whether you're watching us on YouTube or listening to us on your podcast platform of choice. Contact us either directly in comments or on Twitter at JInterestingYT. I'm at All Time Robin.
I'm at Just Alexing.
I'm at Mart Interesting.
Let us know whether you think these forces, these political forces shaping society right now in the West, will always have been there, we're always going to reach this point, and whether Russia has just accelerated the process that was taking place, or whether he's directly exploited something that existed and turned it into a bigger thing that would ever have otherwise been. Let us know. And before we move on to the conclusion of today's podcast, the exciting potential finale to our season-long competition for the trophy sitting over Martin's shoulder, if you're watching us on YouTube, would you like to hear what Trump's official statement in response to the leak was?
Yes, please.
I would love to. I've read it, but I would love to hear it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do justice. So Trump's spokesperson said, not Trump himself, but you can tell that Trump wrote this. Trump's spokesperson said, "This is disgusting. It's fake news. Just like Russia was fake news. It's just the radical left crazies doing whatever they can to demean everybody on the right. It's fiction. And nobody was tougher on Russia than me, including on the pipeline and sanctions. At the same time, we got along with Russia. Russia respected us. China respected us. Iran respected us. North Korea respected us. And the world was a much safer place than it is now with mentally unstable leadership."
That's the best bit. He's literally like, they're calling me. They're calling me. I'm mentally unstable. You're mentally unstable.
I know.
I mean, he did that in the debate. It was like, Ned Puppet, you're the puppet.
You're the puppet.
Not me, you.
But did you not notice like the beauty of that sentence? Oh. And the world was a much safer place than it is now with mentally unstable leadership. He's trying to say the mentally unstable leadership is now. What he's actually said in that sentence is the world was safer with mentally unstable leadership. Yeah. So he's acknowledging that he's
I love how the official statement has the tweet caps locks. You know how he all his tweets with caps lock, with caps on. Everything's in caps.
Oh,
it's amazing. He's shouting an official statement.
I didn't count, actually. Is this 240 characters? Is this... it's probably a bit longer than that, yeah. I wondered, like, if he was tweeting it and they stopped him, like, no, well, let's not tweet that. Let's just... well, he can't tweet anymore. He's not allowed, yeah.
Well, you said that this, you could tell it was Trump, but I actually think that this could be his spokesperson, but just trying to make it look like it's Trump.
Right.
There's some of it, it's a bit more, the grammar seems better than the usual Trump tweet.
That's true.
I don't think Trump
would... Would Trump use the word demean?
That's true.
I don't
true.
Think
you
he would know what pipeline was. And, yeah. And
what are these sanctions?
Yeah. It was the whole Russia respected us, China respected us, Iran respected us, North Korea respected us. I don't think he'd say it like
true.
That.
You're
he'd just be like, everyone liked us. It'd be way simpler.
You look at Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, they liked us. Yeah, you're right. He wouldn't say it like that. Someone doing their best Trump impression, unlike me. shall we move on to the quiz?
Let's.
Oh, God.
Welcome to the quiz, the possible season finale, or at least the decider of the trophy holder for the duration of our next season. Look at that beautiful thing that Martin's holding the camera. It is, for those of you listening at home, what is it, Martin? It is...
It's an Orson Welles travel mug of high-quality premium materials, made from high-quality premium materials, like metal.
Oh, nice.
Proper metal. So good.
That's
at stake here.
I can't wait for that to be special deliveryed first class FedEx
first
to
class.
Me.
I'm not made of money.
I want it here with me tomorrow morning. So
tomorrow morning.
Okay, get in your car. After the podcast, obviously.
Alex, in order for you to have it, you're going to have to win the quiz. So
I know.
This is
not
going
to happen.
It will. It might happen. You never know. But before we do the quiz, or rather before I start asking questions, I need to hear what your buzzers are so I know who's answering the questions. So, Martin, what's your buzzer?
Come on. Yep.
That's a classic one. That's a good buzzer. So
it is. It is.
Classic Drunk Delia.
And Alex, what's your buzzer?
Well, I've gone for the usual. No messing about in the final.
Ah, the French champagne.
It's Drunk Orson Welles.
It is noted for its excellence.
So before we start, just to make the stakes clear, I think I'm on 7 wins.
Yes.
Robin, you're also on 7 wins.
7 wins, yes.
Martin, you're on 4.
We don't talk about how many wins I'm on. We leave how many wins I'm on,
but,
and because it doesn't matter.
But I have played one more game than you, Alex. So
yes.
If you win this, you win the season because I can't catch up.
You do.
Yeah.
But if Martin wins, then we have to go to some kind of sudden death or something next episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way it works. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fair enough.
It'll be literal sudden death. I'll be outside Alex's flat.
you should do like a Mexican standoff kind of thing.
Yeah, John Woo style. Bring the doves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know how that would work on Zoom, but yes.
Let's make it work. It'll be fine.
So, question number one is closest wins.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a chance here. But let's test how well you know the lifespans, I should say, of your former Tory prime ministers, because question number one is, what year did Margaret Thatcher die?
Okay. Closest wins. Okay.
Closest wins. Yes.
Year did Margaret Thatcher die?
Yeah.
2014?
Okay, Martin, do you have an advance on 2014?
I was gonna go for 2015 was my guess.
Alex, would be closer. It was 2013.
2013, really?
So, yeah. Okay. So close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Longer ago than I thought. Yeah.
8 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Okay. Time flies when you're having fun.
It does indeed. So, 1-0 to Alex, going into question two, a literary question. Okay. How well do you know your children's mm-hmm. books? So, the trilogy of books known as His Dark Materials, you know this one?
Yeah.
I've heard of them.
Philip Pullman, yeah.
Yeah. Damn, I thought I was
going to... Sorry, that's not the question. That's not the question. The question is about the titles. So, it comprises three books called Northern Lights, The Amber Spyglass, and which other book?
Those were the two that I'd heard of.
Yeah. That was Alex and the...
This was like the one... I used to read a lot when I was growing up, and this was, I think this was the one series that I never didn't read.
Oh, okay.
Amber Spyglass. Oh, crap. God. I should have watched the rest of that TV show that was on a little while ago.
Yeah, the second series was this book, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
I only saw one episode and I was like, it's not for me. Dark Materials.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. It's a kind of weapon.
The French champagne.
Yes, Alex.
Is it the Scarlet Dagger?
No.
The dagger was what I was thinking too.
I mean, it's not a dagger. It's not Scarlet.
So none of it was right.
You're closer than you think, though. You're closer than you think.
The red knife.
Well, I'll give you a clue. It's not the red knife.
Ah, the French champagne.
Wait, no, Martin has to have a guess, right?
No, that's not the red knife. It's not the red knife. It's a bread knife. The bread knife.
Is it the crimson knife?
No.
Ooh, that rings a bell.
No.
Damn.
Crimson. Crimson. Blood. Blood. Crimson blood.
Crimson copper smelling blood. His blood.
His blood. Garth Marenghi style.
And bits of sick.
Get this up to wonton.
Yeah. Piss and shit.
Anyone who hasn't seen that TV show is going
to be. Yeah, no.
It's such an elite no one will have seen that TV show. Go on then, Martin. Martin, you gotta go for it.
Not the amber spyglass, but the lilac knife.
No, I'll give you one. I don't clue. Know. I'll give you one clue. So it is a knife, as you've established. It's not a color, though. The word that you're missing is an adjective that refers to when you're trying to do something in a not obvious way. Yes, Alex?
The subtle knife.
It is the subtle knife.
What?
Well, is done. It?
Yes.
Okay, I wouldn't have got that.
That was a tough question.
I don't recognize that. Subtle knife.
Subtle knife.
Subtle. Yeah. A subtle knife.
I was kind of hoping, assuming that maybe you'd watch some of the second series where they talk about it all the time and maybe it would kind of lodge in there.
I imagine there's a lot of people listening that would have been screaming at us just then.
It came from us a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay, well, moving on to question three. It's 2-0 to Alex, but there's plenty of time for Martin to come back from this, especially because...
No, there's not. Give up.
We've got a kind of... Your fingers on buzzers, because this is a 50-50 answer here. You're either right or wrong, but it's obvious. Because the question is, which came first, Twitter or Instagram?
The French champagne.
So close.
Oh, I don't know who that was. Dying. I'm gonna give Martin the guess.
That would be Twitter.
It was Twitter. It was indeed.
I would have guessed Twitter.
Do you know I'm sure you're right. Do you know how big the gap was?
I'm gonna go for it would have been about 5 years.
Close, 4 years. 2006 Twitter, 2010 Instagram.
Okay. Yeah, Twitter. Well, it wasn't one of the OGs. I guess the OGs would be like MySpace and stuff. But yeah, it's unfair. It's the same. It was around the same time as Facebook, and
it was one of the OGs that's properly still going.
Yeah,
yeah, actually,
as in that and YouTube, really.
It's weird to think. It's
I guess
that
Facebook
old.
As well.
Oh. Cricky. Well, question number four, and it's 2-1. This will make you scratch your heads. On a calculator, got all those buttons on the top right. I think of most calculators is the AC button.
Oh, sorry.
What? Martin buzzed. What does AC stand for?
Oh.
AC.
Yeah.
It's air conditioning.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Air conditioning.
AC. Oh, man. Why doesn't anyone teach you this at school?
I'll tell you, it's very...
We weren't allowed calculators.
I agree.
It's intuitive.
Yes, but it's typical math thing. So I have a thing about the way mathematicians use language, as in they don't understand how English works. So in English, when you're learning math, there's lots of words to describe what things do. And you're like, that's not what that means. But fine, use that word. And AC does stand for what it does, just not in the way that you think it does. So think about what that button does when you type in a calculator. Yeah. Yes.
Is it like all clear and it like just clears everything?
It is exactly all clear.
Well done.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Well done.
It is.
What a shot. Done. Shot in the dark.
That's what it. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you've got a button that clears everything on your screen, that would be clear all, right?
Yeah.
It's a command.
Yeah. That was why I didn't buzz initially. I was thinking, is that CA? I thought it was like CA.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But it's all clear for some reason. That's what happens after you do it. Stupid maths. Anyway, question number 5, and it's 3-1 to Alex, but still everything to play for. Which hit Netflix show from 2021 features narration from Julie Andrews?
2021. The French Champagne.
Yes, Alex.
I don't know, but is it Bridgerton?
Oh, shit.
It is Bridgerton. Well guessed.
Oh, of course it is.
Oh. Sorry, Martin. Is that because you just... Your kid's not into it, so you don't watch it much?
Kids spend a bit... Yeah, yeah. I saw a bit of the first episode, and it wasn't my bag.
Yeah, I can believe it. It's not good. Still, my wife watched...
Strong recommendations from the Just Interesting.
My wife watched the whole series, and every time I was like, you like it? She's like, no, it's terrible. I'm like, but you still watch it.
But I will carry on.
What are you doing?
I started to finish.
Exactly. Yeah. Question number 6, and it's 4-1 to Alex.
Okay. I think to get my head in the game.
This
it's might... too late. Oh, can we do this at 10 a.m. next week?
Sure, yeah.
Every week I'm knackered.
You are. It is quite late.
And every week I make excuses because I'm knackered.
Which London Underground line has the most stations? Where are you? Yes, Martin. Where are
you? That will be the Circle and District line.
Oh, District line, yes.
Oh yeah,
it has.
Well, you said
60 stations.
They're
the same. I think Circle technically ends earlier.
They branch off slightly, don't they? But they're pretty much all the way together, aren't they?
The District line has that kind of weird third branch. So there's a bit where it splits into three, going towards Richmond area. But yeah, so 4-2 to.
I've heard that question before, but I couldn't remember which one it was, so I wouldn't have even gone for that.
Oh,
I think
sorry.
I was thinking like the Northern line or something, but. I don't know.
Northern Line also splits into two, doesn't it?
Northern Line's definitely got a lot. It's probably like second or third longest, I imagine. After Circle Line, probably. So, yeah. Question number 7. How many sides does a heptadecagon have?
Ah, the French champagne.
Yes, Alex.
Is it 17?
It is. 17.
Yes!
Hepta.
Exactly. Hepta. Very good.
And deca.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. So... 5-2 to Alex.
Two, I think.
Going to question
two?
Eight.
Two.
Yes. Yeah. Question 8. Who played Batman first? Val Kilmer or George Clooney?
Champagne.
You buzzed too soon.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Val Kilmer?
Yes. Was that also your answer, Martin?
No, I was going to go for Clooney.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Seriously. Okay.
They're one after another, though, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. They were consecutive, which is why it was always asking.
George Clooney was the nipple Batman, right?
Yeah, then there's Batman Forever was Kilmer, wasn't
That's
it?
That's correct, yeah.
And then Batman and Robin was
George Clooney.
Clooney. Yeah.
And they both had nipples.
It's got the dates mixed up. I see.
Oh. But one had Mr. Freeze.
I've got a soft spot for Batman Forever.
Yeah, I like Batman too. Forever.
Yeah,
I like the film. It's probably one of technically the worst films, but I don't know. Jim Carrey, I think, is quality in it.
He's great.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones.
I think Val Kilmer's underrated as well as Bruce Wayne Batman. He's actually quite a good, I think he's quite a good choice for the role.
Tell me, Doctor, have you been to the Circus?
Circus? Yeah, that's the best line.
I'm Batman. I'm Batman. Yeah. It's like I'm Spartacus, he just keeps on shouting it.
I do like, I think as 90s movies go as well, blockbusters, that is one of the most polished 90s blockbusters. When you really study it as a piece of craft filmmaking, it's really polished, really well put together. It just happens that it's ugly, but you know, it's well put together.
Terrible dialogue.
Yeah. Although they just have great lines like, try fireman, less to take off. You know. So, question number 9, and it is 6-2 to Alex.
Barring a 10-part question, I think we've done it.
Let's see. How many points can I make this question?
No, don't.
Which famous horror novel did Mary Shelley write when she was just 19 years old?
Ooh. Mary Shelley.
Alex?
I believe that was Frankenstein.
It was indeed Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
The Modern Prometheus. Hmm. Well done. I think it was her only book as well.
Mary Shelley.
Mary Shelley.
She did well that, 19 years old.
I know.
What about
a classic like that? Definitely feel like an underachiever now. So, going on to question number 10.
19.
And it is 7-2 to Alex, I think, going into the final question, which is worth 10 points.
No,
it's not. Sadly, it is not. In what year, it's closest wins. In what year was the first Six Nations rugby tournament held? Yes, Martin.
That was the turn of the millennium, the year 2000.
It was exactly the year 2000. Well done, Martin. I'm forgetting it precisely right. You get 8 points.
I am really glad that that wasn't decided. You would have seen me rage out of this room like I've never done before. Well done, Alex.
Are we sending this across to you, mate?
Yeah, well deserved.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it. I've wanted that for ages. I've had my heart set on it, and it's staying in Scotland once I've got it. It's not coming back.
Orson will be in Scotland. Okay.
Well, we're going to have to try hard next time, Martin. Next season, we're going to have to.
We will. Yeah.
Really go for it.
I really was worried that this was going to be, you know, me snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I was doing so well.
I was losing. When Martin got two in a row,
week
I was
after
like,
week.
Here's the comeback, and then
it didn't happen. Yeah. I mean, that is one series each, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. It is, yeah.
Mm.
Robin won season 1, Martin season 2, Alex wins season 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Well, if that's the case, I'm quitting now, and I'll see you in Hawaii. Do you want the bonus question?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Absolutely.
Sorry, we don't have to do it, Martin, if you don't want to.
No, let's do it.
Okay, it's another closest wins. How many children did Queen Victoria have?
Ooh.
That was Martin, yes.
She had 3 children.
Okay. Alex, do you have a guess?
The French.
I don't know the royals that well. Did she have no children?
Ooh, Martin is closer. She had 9 children.
Oh, okay.
9?
Yes.
She went the other way.
I had no idea how many children she had.
I thought it was a trick, and yeah, she had none. And
she had nine
came
children.
From somewhere
nine
else.
Children, yeah. And that's why, you know, our recently deceased Prince Consort Philip was related to Queen Elizabeth II, because she married, Queen Victoria married off her nine children all over Europe. You know, one of them, you know, well, one of them died early, one of them became the King of England, of Britain, and yeah. The others all married European monarchs. So they're all related.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know she had that many.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. that really does show, doesn't it? Like, how many of them actually get to be in the public light, and how many are just kind of ditched after they've done their royal duties.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Well, thank you for that, gentlemen. I really enjoyed that. Well done on your victory, Alex.
thank you. Thank
sorry,
you for
Martin,
the quiz, Robin.
Commiserations.
It is what it is. You know, I'm like a tennis player at the end of the set when you're losing 5-1. It's like, well, I've lost this set. I'm going to build myself back up for the next one. Forget about this.
That's the thinking.
And it's bigger and better. You know, I'm not going to waste all my games on a tie break.
Well, then, thank you all for staying with us, for watching us, for listening to us on whatever podcast platform you like to listen to us on. And tune in next time for more just interesting discussions. And ciao for now.
Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.